Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. We do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. It's Maroon, it's James Triceps Hooper, and it's Gordy. Tell us at Triple M underscore NRL if you have a tweet, an email, anything you want to ask us. You just go right ahead and do that. This is from Rhiannon from Castle Hill. Guy, your panel operator that you often refer to, Felix, is he the same Felix that DJs at Cruise Bar? Felix, do you DJ at Cruise Bar?
I have been known to go there from time to time right. And spin some ones and twos.
Right, ones and twos, right.
Oh.
So hang on, Felix.
What are ones and twos?
Yeah.
Well, a one is a foot tapper. Right. A two is a fist pumper. With COVID restrictions, we're trying to steer clear of a lot of the twos. Right. So the music brief is foot tappers, not fist pumpers.
Okay. Ooh, and right. So when you get there tonight at the Cruise Bar, what will you kick off with, mate?
There's a new song by Cardi B, I think it is.
Right.
And it's called WAP.
Okay, I think I know that one, so we won't ask you what that stands for. Now, just to give you a couple of tips, when I was DJing, Felix, back in 1991, I used to open up with Love Shack.
Beautiful.
All up into a little bit of, Betty Boo just doing the do, something like that. Then you might just jump into a bit of Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy. Do you play any of that?
I don't, but I'm more than happy to welcome you down. You can do a celebrity set down at Cruise Bar with me later.
Oh, they'll say he's brought his father along.
Hey, Maroon, you know when you were DJing, did you have the mesh singlet on?
I did, mate. Yeah, I used to have the mesh.
Did you?
Yeah. Big gold chain.
Because that's what Right Said Fred had on, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I used to wear that, yeah. Because that's all I used to go to the gym. Well, I used to go to the same gym as Jason Ross, who's about to come on. Just do your bicep curls and your chest. That's all you need.
Just the beach weights. Just to set the record straight there as well, Anthony, you said 1991. I thought you started DJing 1981.
Well, I started DJing in 1988 at the Reevesby Roundhouse.
Okay.
Wow.
Back there when it's near the Reevesby pub there.
Yep.
And, mate, I was an instant success.
Yep.
I used to play a few tracks. Tucker's Daughter. I play a bit of Tucker's Daughter.
Bit of Cold Chisel. Bit of some Flame Trees.
Yeah, all that. Bit of Flame Trees, maybe. At the end, so they could all get together and have a kiss and a cuddle. But in the COVID environment, that wouldn't be any good, would it?
No.
No.
Not at the moment.
But it was a different world then, Hoops.
Well, it's funny. Felix mentioned ones and twos. I thought ones and twos was your shoe.
Yeah. All right. Well, mate, have fun at the Cruise Bar. And we'll move on with this right now. Jason Riles from the Melbourne Storm is on the line to talk a little bit of matters pertinent to rugby league. Rilesy, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Fantastic, mate. 156 games for the Dragons and Catalans and Roosters. Then Melbourne. You had a wonderful career as a player yourself. Even played a bit of Origin.
Yeah, a little bit of Origin. I was lucky enough to. I remember playing against Gordy. I used to shit myself. But anyway, I can talk about that now. But I actually remember you DJing, Maroon. You were the DJ in I-98 FM, remember?
That's right, mate. I was. Yes, that's right, mate. Maroon
and
Millie.
Actually really good, yeah.
Yeah,
so, you haven't lost any of your confidence either, have you?
No, I haven't, Rosie. I haven't, Rosie. That's very good. And of course you remembered, mate. I would have had a massive influence on. And for a while there, you didn't know if you were going to go and work at I-98 or play rugby league, did you, mate?
Oh, no. I've got a head for radio. That's about it.
Hey, Rosie, can I check on that, on I-98? Apparently there used to be some taxis down there in Wollongong with Maroon on the side of them, Maroon and Millie adverts. Did you ever see any of those?
He was everywhere. Maroon was big in the gong back in the day.
So, yes, that's right.
Yeah, we thought the Illawarra Mercury was huge in I-98. We thought that was the only radio station and newspaper in town. So he was big. Yep.
He's kicked on.
Good on you, Rosie. What else have you got to say about me, mate? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
This is an interview with me.
Hey, Rosie, mate, you've been around some really big footy clubs and successful teams. What makes Melbourne better than the others or more professional and, you know, the most consistent side over the last, you know, 15 years?
Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on. Obviously, you were with the Broncos there for a long time, but which is a similar sort of setup back when you were there. And but I think the consistency with the program and we've evolved as well. So the team that played in 08, 09 and 10 is a lot different to the team that plays now, which is the style. So, but the same thing that comes through is the consistency, I suppose.
What's it been like, Riles? You've obviously had to make a lot of sacrifices as a club, and you've been based up on the Sunny Coast for a number of months now. Just give us an insight as to what it's like, life up there, and how it's been different from your normal routine and preparation down in Melbourne.
As far as the routine and the preparation, it's very similar. It's almost identical, really. It's the only difference is we're on the sunny coast, not in Melbourne. Obviously, it's quite a bit different with the family life. Your family's basically here all the time, and when you go to work, your family's basically here as well. So that's probably the different thing. You don't sleep in your own bed, and you're not in your own home. So you know, the kids are going to school up here as well, with Jerome Hughes' wife. She's a school teacher, and Frank Panisi's wife's a school teacher as well. So got our own little school up here and a creche, and the girls do a little bit of training as well with the high performance guys. So we've just basically had to just relocate our lives up here and just make do with what we've had available to us. So it's been a great exercise. It's, you know, you get to meet people on a whole different level inside your club, and I think, you know, if you could sort of replicate that back in Melbourne, it'd be outstanding, but it's almost impossible. But I think we've just made the most of what the situation we've been in, and fortunate enough we're here on the last weekend.
Okay. And did you watch, what did you think of the footy last night? What did you think of Penrith?
Yeah, it was a tough game. I didn't watch it closely. I'm about to watch it tonight, so it's, you know, rewatch it again. But, you know, they're probably the most consistent team all year, and they deserve to be in the grand final. And I think South sort of pushed them there for a bit, but I don't think they were ever really in too much danger of losing the game. It was more a fact of, you know, they probably bombed a few opportunities, the Panthers, and but at the same time, they're a consistent footy team. They've got a very good kicking game. They've got a strong back three, and, you know, they're really strong through that middle third of the field as well.
Talking about being consistent, Cameron Smith has been very consistent, saying nothing. But it's the most asked question that I get asked. What do you think Cameron's going to do? Is he going to go Titans, Broncos, or stay at Melbourne, or retire? Roz, you've been there. What do you think he's going to do? If you're a betting man, what would you put your money on?
Oh, God, it's, I wouldn't, if I did put it on anything, it wouldn't be with any great confidence. It's, I think people think we're trying to hide things, you know, from the outside, but that's, you know, Smithy yourself, Gordy, that's how he is. He keeps things to himself. And I think Billy said last night on the broadcast that it's not about him. It's about the footy team and, you know, the, you know, making sure we play well every week and making sure he plays well every week. But in regards to what he's going to do, I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me if he did either. I think the result this weekend will have a bit of a bearing on what he does do. But at the same time, you watch him play, he could probably go to at least 40. Like, and that's honest, you know, that's the way he's playing at the moment. He's probably hasn't played any better and had any more influence on a game than he's having at the moment. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. I don't know if I'd, whatever I put my money on, I wouldn't be putting it on with any great confidence, Gordy.
Okay. What about for you personally, Rolsey? You've been at the Melbourne Storm for a number of years now, working under Craig Bellamy. But am I right? Are you still headed off over to Europe and you're going to take up an opportunity with Eddie Jones and the England Rugby Union at the end of this season?
Yeah, Saturday week I'll go over straight into their autumn campaign, which is a bit abbreviated to what it was going to look like. So, yeah, straight into that. And then, you know, work there for between 1 and 3 years and see how I go. And then if anything pops up back here, then we'll look at it. But at the moment, I'm, you know, focused on going over there and basically, you know, just to work in another high-performing environment. It's world-class what the setup is over there, similar to the All Blacks and the Wallabies and that back here. So, you know, and obviously working with Eddie, who's very experienced, and I just see that as a stepping stone of growing as a coach. It's really important you get the hours in, I suppose, and the experience. So that's just part of that journey.
How many hours
what
do you
be
work?
Doing there, Rossi? Like going to rugby union, obviously there's some different disciplines that, you know, like the games are similar in some, you know, so, some parts, but what are you going to be doing over there?
So the contact with the ball carry, and also just another perspective on both the way they attack and defend as well. But probably the most value I'll be able to add in the program is, you know, basically being here and what it's like at the Storm, and then also the way we defend as well. It's quite similar, even though it looks quite a fair bit different. But, you know, the basics and the core fundamentals of the defensive system is very similar to from rugby to league once the ball is in play. So, it's you know, it's probably one of the main areas that I work with as well. But the general title is skills coach, but it's a pretty unique role because I'll be able to sort of get both sides of the ball and also, you know, the preparation of building up to a campaign and the psychology of it all as well, in regards to how Eddie builds it up Would be another good learning experience for me as well.
Yeah, sounds like a great opportunity, and good on you for being prepared to go over and have a crack at it. If an opportunity did come up at the Melbourne Storm down the track to return, is that something that you'd be interested in?
If it'd been asked this a few times, and certainly be very open to it. It's one of those jobs where everyone's sort of waiting for the place to go over the other side. But I think if the stability of the place remains, and then also Craig stays involved in some way, shape or form, that'd be a very appealing opportunity. So it's, certainly open to it, but I'd need to see how, Matt Tripp and Frank and those guys have got the club prepared for the next 5 years going forward, because I think that's super important in regards to the stability of what's in place at the moment, and just maintaining that, keeping it going, and also evolving it to another level.
You touched on another one of the million-dollar questions there, Rolls. Is Bellyache going to remain at the Melbourne Storm beyond the end of next season? He's obviously been heavily linked with the Broncos, who are trying to rebuild, and they've thrown a very big lucrative contract at him.
Yeah, so I stir him up a bit about, because since I've been here in 12, he's been finishing up at the next contract, and that's probably about four contracts to go, and then they just keep putting another zero on the end of it, and then he goes, oh, that's not bad each month. So, I'm not too sure. He's getting to that age where he's got to make that decision for whether he wants lifestyle or he wants that work-life balance, but... It's a bit like Smithy. He could get going as long as he wants. You can see Wayne what he's doing as well. So, the thing with Craig, when he's at work, he's at work. Like, it's full on. So it's he's in right up to his neck. And I think that director of coaching role will down the track probably suit his lifestyle a bit better. But what he's going to do, I'm not too sure. But we'll all wait and see.
Rolsey, good to catch up with you, mate. All the best this weekend, and for with your job overseas with the English rugby team, mate. You've done so well, and we wish you all the success in the future.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
Good on you, mate. Jason Rolls joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin. We do it thanks to Brydens. And, yeah, he's heading over to ply his trade hoops in a completely different code now.
Yeah, it's a little bit left field, and something that you don't often see a lot of aspiring NRL coaches do, but I reckon good on him. Mm. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Clearly from speaking to him there, he's evolved into a really intelligent bloke, and obviously has a great understanding of defensive systems and forward play in the NRL, and Eddie Jones being the type of deep left field thinker that he is, lateral thinker, I reckon, bringing somebody with Jason's experience, I could see why that would hold big appeal for Eddie Jones.
Yeah, I think there's a great crossover. We see Michael Checker at the Roosters now, and I remember when I was at the Broncos in the early days, that Steve Hansen, the last All Blacks coach, he probably come over for one or two pre-seasons, and that Mitchell or whatever. So, like, a lot of the All Black coaches, and like, they'd come and spend a pre-season with you, whether it be 3 or 4 weeks, and just watch the way you do things. Mate, you're mad not to do it. And I know, like, a lot of our trainers go over to America to the colleges and the NFL, or, the big European soccer clubs, just to see. And he's going to be, obviously, he's just building an education. He's not going to Harvard to get it. He's going out there and doing it in the real world.
All right, we'll take a break, boys. Before we do, just an update on our poll. Maroon's poll today was, what is the biggest thing, do you think, in 2020 in the NRL? Do you think it's been Peter Vallandi's influence? I mean, he got us back on the field in the middle of that whole COVID thing, and we've been going strong, going gangbusters ever since. We'll have a great grand final all up into Origin. So do you think Peter Vallandi's his influence has been the biggest thing in 2020? What about the Panthers making the grand final and only losing one game? That's massive in this day and age. But the other one being, of course, the Gold Coast Titans winning 5 games in a row. And, oh, the carry-on around here, because the Titans won 5 games in a row.
Which I don't think it was so much anything to do with the fact that it was a damn good effort of them to win 5 games in a row. It was more around the fact that you'd made another one of your foolish, outlandish bets, tried to squeam, duck and dive your way out of it. That's the only reason why it gained as much airtime and as much airplay as what it did.
Okay, can you let me finish what I was saying?
I'm just clarifying for the record.
Well,
because you're trying to put the slipper into the Gold Coast again.
I'm not. So you can have your votes now at Triple M's NRL Facebook page or at Triple M_NRL. And we will have some a break now, and we'll come back and talk more Dally M's as Triple M rocks the NRL finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And, of course, we will be on deck next week live from ANZ Stadium. And then Dan will call the grand final for us, which is Penrith versus Melbourne. Of course, we do it thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. They commit, protect and succeed. Score from last night saw the Panthers beat South 20-16. Ty Power's footy final sale is on right now. You get one, you buy three, you get one free on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tiles, tires at least, not tiles. It's time to get some news from Two Scoops Hoops. What's going on in the NRL hoops? Can I start by asking you a couple of questions? Firstly, now there was a crazy story getting around through the week that Mitchell Pearce was heading back to the Roosters.
Yeah, it did come out of left field, didn't it? Look, certainly I think at some point there might be a desire there from Mitchell to have one final swan song season with the Chooks. And if you go back to when Mitchell actually signed with Newcastle originally, there was some talk around the game at that time that Nick Politis, who's obviously the kingpin and chairman of the Sydney Roosters, at some point would be open to Mitchell returning and having a farewell season as a Rooster. Now, I think what's happened is the Knights originally were talking about giving Mitchell a two-year extension. So he signed for next season anyway, but they were talking about signing him through right until the end of 2023. That then was reduced to a 12-month extension. So they were signing him through until the end of 2022. And then nothing has actually been forthcoming in terms of any sort of paperwork and written contract. So I think people started to second guess and have some doubts about exactly how it was all going to play out. And then when the Roosters decided that they were going to tap Kyle Flanagan on the shoulder and tell him that he won't be required at Bondi, he won't be getting a contract beyond the end of next year, well, that set it all alight. So I think it's still a little bit premature at this point in time. Certainly the Knights, in lieu of the story, are trying to suggest that they will be re-signing Mitchell and that they do absolutely want to keep him. But nothing's been forthcoming up until this point.
On the back of what you just said, what's the latest on Kyle Flanagan, if you know anything further, Hoops?
I reckon he's a very good chance of going to the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. Trent Barrett certainly wants him. I think Trent's been telling people behind the scenes that he thinks Kyle is about 18 months behind Nathan Cleary in terms of his development, but he thinks he can get him to the level that Nathan Cleary is now playing at. I think he's a fan of his toughness. Mm. And I think if a club tells you that you're no longer wanted, then most players will take that as, okay, not a worry, I'll go and see what else is around. Mm. And then today, Paul Gallen was in the paper suggesting that the Sharkies might want to have a crack at him as well. So
yeah.
Well, it's strange. I just on that, you know, I said about 3 years ago, we are so quick to judge our halves. Mm. You know, like just all our young kids coming through. You know what I mean? Like when I started playing, there was one game or two games on TV. I think it was Sunday afternoon, Friday night, and the Saturday afternoon ABC game.
Yep.
Well, now every game and everybody's under the spotlight. And Andrew Johns makes a great point. Look at, you know, Cooper Cronk, Jonathan Thurston. He goes, look at myself after, you know, 18 or 20 first grade games and tell me whether I could come in and fill Cooper Cronk's boots. You know,
yes.
You know, it was a lose-lose situation there. And I thought his goal kicking, he showed a lot of composure.
Yep.
He's learning on the run. He's got, it was a massive task in an unusual season through COVID. And I think they're pretty quick to throw the poor young kid under the bus.
It was ruthless, wasn't it, Gordon? It was ruthless when you look at it. And you go back to the last time that the Roosters lost consecutive finals games. Well, that was when they decided they were going to tap Mitchell Pearce on the shoulder, or they told him they wanted to turn him into a utility player and get him to learn under Cooper Cronk, and they went and signed Cooper for a couple of seasons. So, look.
Well, the thing is, this kid's got a season under his belt, and I know Benny Walker's son, Sam Walker's got all, you know, so much potential, but then he's going to be young and he's going to be under the same spotlight,
yeah,
you know, and then so, I think Lamb's, you know, yeah, Adrian Lamb's son,
yep.
So like he's going to have a crack as well. Well, he's going to be under the same spotlight,
yeah.
Well, they're actually not going to buy Lockie, a Cooper Cronk.
Speaking of Lockie Lamb, I have heard, and nothing has been made official yet, but I had heard that there was some talk he might go and join his old man overseas at Wigan. Right. So that would mean that, as it sits at the moment, there's a real saloon passage there for Sam Walker to become the Roosters halfback.
Okay, boys, moving on along to Jack Bird. Now, the latest on Jack Bird is there's a little story circulating he might head back to the Dragons. Have you heard anything about that, Hoops?
Oh, this has been around for a long time, Anthony. So it's been on and off over the course of the last 18 months, 2 years. Jack's obviously had a checkered history with injuries ever since he arrived at the Brisbane Broncos and hasn't been able to put very many games together. And he's on big, big money. We're talking $900,000 plus next season. So the Broncos are prepared to throw in a fair bit. I think the Dragons are looking at it, but I don't think anything's anywhere near being a fait accompli just yet.
Sad news for Ethan Lowe, who's had a couple of NRL clubs, Cowboys and obviously Rabbitohs. Ethan's will retire from the NRL.
Yeah, he picked up a bad neck injury, which he'd been trying to manage for the last 18 months, I think, of his career. And as a result, he's decided that he is going to hang the boots up. Tell you what, he was an underrated player, Ethan Lowe. Like, I remember that he got picked into Origin and thrown into State of Origin in the series last year, and he did not let anybody down. So it's a sad day that he's at the retire, but they're the cards, and he still achieved a lot in his career.
Now, what's the latest on Matt Burton?
The latest is, look, Penrith, from conversations that I've had with people out at the Panthers, they don't want Matt Burton. They're not prepared to budge on releasing Matt Burton early, as in next season, for anything or anybody. So as a result, look, rival clubs can come in as of November 1, which is only a couple of weeks away now, Anthony. And they can table offers and they can try and sign him for 2022. The Bulldogs is obviously the biggest club that's been made public. They are going to have a red hot crack at trying to sign Matt, but the Panthers are still hopeful that they might be able to convince him to remain at the foot of the mountains. And then even if he does decide to sign somewhere else for 2022, I think you'll find that he'll be remaining at Penrith for next season, because if anything was to happen to Nathan Cleary or Jerome Luai or even one of the centres, then Matt Burton provides great depth and great versatility.
Okay. Finally, Teddy's Footy Whisperer. Do you know anything about Teddy's Footy Whisperer?
Yeah, I think most people involved in the game of rugby league have heard the stories about the Football Whisperer, Joe Wiebe. He was obviously business partners with Isaac Moses until they had a major fallout that has since been resolved in court. But I guess what was interesting is that Teddy, look, you know, James Tedesco is one of the best players in the game, and he's one of the best paid players in the game for good reason. But I was surprised to learn that he is actually paying this bloke $5K a month just to talk to him about football and life and get him in the right headspace. Like, he's playing at the Roosters. He's got Trent Robinson. He goes into the New South Wales Origin setup. He's got Freddie Fittler. He's got Greg Alexander. He's got Danny Badiris. It's not like he hasn't got great football nous knowledge, life experience.
Month.
Yes. And football knowledge in all of those people. But for whatever reason, Teddy feels as though he really needs the support of...
Hold on. $5,000 a month to talk to a shrink.
Is he a shrink? I don't know. Is he?
Well, I don't know what he is. Yeah. Okay, so the horse whisperer went whatever he is. I don't know what he
River.
Is, right? Yeah, like, like, are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's 100%.
But doesn't he have his own money? Like, or didn't he have his own money? Or wasn't he successful?
Supposedly, I think he is quite in his own right. He's involved in real estate, and look, he's been a man of mystery around the game for many years now. This bloke, like, he doesn't like media. He doesn't like the spotlight. But he's gradually, and he's been to a
number.
But
he's happy to take $60,000 a month off a kid.
Well, no, it's not 60 a year. 60 a year.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry,
still,
like
that's
60
still,
grand a
it's
year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
What's bizarre, he has been around a few different clubs. So he had his hooks into Parramatta for a while. Then he was in at the West Tigers for a while. And we saw the Tigers get completely pulled apart when Teddy ended up going to the Roosters. Mitchell Moses ended up going to Parramatta. Aaron Woods. And
go ask Nathan Hindmarsh, one of the most mentally tough kids to ever run on a footy field. Go ask him about him. Is that right? Parramatta. Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. He didn't have anything nice to say?
Or?
No, not really. Oh, no. Just, mate, you don't mess with some people. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be fragile to have someone. Listen, we play a man's sport, right? If you need to get motivated to play a game, you're playing the wrong game. If you need someone to sit there and tell you what we're doing, we have the best job in the world as footy players. As a young kid, like, I just left the little West Panthers. They had their little breakup day. The kids are out there kicking the ball, running around. That's it. That's our game, whether it's soccer, whether it's basketball, whatever you love doing. Rugby league's one of those games.
Yep.
It's not that hard.
No.
Mate, and if you need to get motivated to get up and go to your job, and it's rugby league, it's sport, well, you're doing the wrong thing. Go dig holes, what I used to do, and I guarantee you'll fall in love with the game again.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean, mate? Like, go out west and go work with a farmer and do some fencing for a month, or go help someone that's, you know, got a real tough job, you know, in 35 degrees and get blisters on your hands and see whether rugby league's tough, or basketball or cricket or AFL, whatever sport you play.
Yeah. Mm. I must say, it surprised me. Anthony, there's no way you wouldn't outlay that sort of cash for anybody
to whisper.
Get inside.
No, I was going to say if
Teddy, I had George Michael with a couple of canisters.
I would probably be prepared to be Teddy's whisperer for half that.
Okay.
And why are these blokes called whispers?
No, Anthony, this is your audition. Right. Just give us a minute. Just give us a minute of your time. What,
but do I have to whisper?
No. Just talk.
I'll just be
get us motivated.
Like, I'll be just saying things like this: Teddy, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Things like that. Become one with the football. I'll be saying stuff like that. See yourself up there on that podium at the end, holding up the trophy.
Oh God, I thought you were going to say DCMs on Monday. See yourself up there on the podium. You can't start the movie.
Anyway, I just like to know why they're called whisperers. Why are they called advisors?
I don't know.
Are they whispering?
Just, I don't know. That's just a nickname that's been bestowed upon this bloke. And,
I want to get Joey Wiebe in here to do a bit of whispering around you, Hoops, and Gordy. Right, you can't do much about Paul. He's beyond help.
Leave my little hamster, right? I've got a little hamster inside my head sitting on the... mate, he's on a swing at the moment. He's just laying down. Don't get him up and put him on the treadmill because he burns out too quick, right? So just let him lay in his hammock, right, and just sit there all day and do it. No one's getting in my head.
Righto.
I like that little hamster up there. He's good.
I got a monkey with a set of cymbals, I think.
Oh, well, mate, at least he can play an instrument. Mate, all I can play is the car horn.
All right, boys. 44 laps to go at Bathurst. Van Gisbergen leads, followed by Cam Waters, Chad Mostert, Fabian Coulthard. That's the top four at the moment. And
Jamie Wincup in fifth, by the looks of it.
And the lead car is Van Gisbergen. So 44 laps to go at Bathurst. A little bit overcast, but no rain at this stage. And it's the Mustangs, obviously, against those last German ZB Commodores. But I believe the Camaros are coming in a year or two. And the Camaros will absolutely flog the Mustangs. Because, as I've said before, Hoops, Mustangs are like Camaros, only they make Camaros for men. And having said that, we're going to take a break and come back as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin, and we do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. We've got some sports happening around the place over here. We've got 41 laps to go at Bathurst, Van Gisbergen, and then Cam Waters, Fabian Coulthard. That's first, second and third. Any other sport happening around the place here, my good friend Hoops?
Yeah, the Wallabies are on as well. It's the Bledisloe Cup over in New Zealand. They haven't been able to give as good an account of themselves this Sunday as what they did last. It's 27 points to 7 to the All Blacks.
Okay, boys, let's talk a little bit of Dally M's. The Dally M's, a different Dally M's, a little bit of a virtual Dally M's this year because of COVID-19. It's interrupted that as it has done everything else. What about some of the individual awards here, Hoops? Just to give us some idea where your head's at. God, Lord only knows where your head's at. But Rookie of the Year, who do you think?
Rookie of the Year. Anthony, you got me left field at the moment. I thought you were going to ask who I thought would win the award.
Okay, well, I'll start with that.
I was going to get, yeah, look, I think Nathan Cleary, like, he's been a lay down Mazaire as the best halfback in the competition all season, even if they'd taken the 6 points off him because of the TikToking video at the start of the season. I think that he still has been so dominant and so influential at the foot of the mountains. They're now in the grand final. I think that Nathan would, in all likelihood, have won that award anyway. So I'm going, I think Cleary will win the Dally M player of the season, and I think his old man will win the coach of the year as well.
Right, father and son. What about you, Gordy? You'd be happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you so he gets six docked?
Well,
6 points.
No, this is where they were sort of half pregnant about it, Gordon. So they came out and they said, oh, no, that's it. Yep, he's going to get 6 points taken off because he's been suspended for 2 weeks. So it's 3 points for every game that you're suspended. That's the rules. But then they reviewed it, and only about a month ago they went, oh, no, actually, we've decided that because it was an off-field incident rather than an on-field reason that he was suspended, we're not going to dock him the 6 points.
Right.
So they've done a backflip and a cartwheel and a little pirouette as well.
Yeah.
But I still think
let's just hope that he wins by more than six to put it out.
Yeah.
You know, put it in there, any doubt. But, yeah, look, absolutely. I think Cleary's been outstanding. And his father's done a wonderful job. You know, I just remember Marty Lang and Johnny Lang, and it's another one of those stories, isn't it? You know, father and son, and it's a great rugby league story. And Penrith, we know that the West is our heartland, isn't it? Like the Golden West. And, you know, good luck to the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Rookie of the Year, Anthony. I know you wanted a Rookie of the Year. Look, I think this bloke is another laydown, Mazeer Harry Grant. What a performance. Mm. What a season from him. The impact and the influence that he was able to have at West Tigers, given he hadn't played a minute of NRL previously, was frightening. And not only that, the fact that he's been able to force his way into the Queensland Maroons 27-man squad for this State of Origin series, even though he missed a few games through injury at points of the season, he's going to be a super player for many, many years to come.
Yeah, we've enjoyed Harry Grant, who you've tipped for Rookie of the Year. What about you, Gordy? Would you be happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't go past. I like Big Tino. Like, there's been some great kids that have, you know, burst on the scene, but none better than Harry Grant.
Mm. All right, well, we've got Dally M winner. The boys are tipping Nathan Cleary, Coach of the Year, Ivan. Rookie of the Year, the great Harry Grant. Right now in the Rugby New Zealand 27 lead Australia 7. And Hoops.
Will you be making an appearance on the virtual Dally M's, Anthony? You got the tuxedo dusted off and the penguin bow tie out.
Well, what I've done, just to save a bit of money, I just took the top of the tuxedo up to the dry cleaners at Matto, and I'll just sit down with no pants on in front of the... That would work, wouldn't it?
With the cashews.
There's talk that there's a new category this year, Best Radio Pub Trivia Quiz.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I know.
You've been nominated for that award.
Well, it'd be nice to win something. Yeah. Nice we get a mention of something.
I think Andrew Moore got that.
The early betting's got Tony Squires well ahead of you. He's $1.04 and you're $9 and drifting.
All right, boys. Thank you very much for your continued support, Hoops. Just before we go, remember, if you're going to have a bet, I've got to update the poll. Just remind me of that. If you're having a bet on the grand final, whatever you're doing this spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, and with our new multi features giving you more chance to win, gamble responsibly. We can't get hold of our man Hackers. We know he was at a function this afternoon, so maybe he's passed out early on the lounge. I don't know. He's watching Bathurst.
Could be.
Is that a gut full of party pies and King Browns, and he's just in no shape to answer the phone. Now, the poll, before I go to another break, the poll here at the moment, the poll today was, what has been the biggest thing in the NRL in 2020? Has it been the influence of Peter Volandis? Has it been the Panthers making the grand final only losing one game? Has it been the Gold Coast Titans, who got such a kick out of winning 5 games in a row that they're going to start naming streets after some of the players up there? Mm-hmm. There'll be a ticker tape parade down Cavill Avenue.
Moe's Tavern. They've already got a great tavern there called Moe's.
Yeah. But in the Fair Income Department, they should go really well, Gordy, next year, and I certainly hope they do.
Oh, well, there's Fifita coming, Big Tino, and the way Brimson finished the season. And, hopefully they do. I think we need rugby league to be up and kicking. We especially need the Broncos to be strong. Because that drags, obviously, the Cowboys and Titans up to another level as well.
Well, you know, as I said before, Hoops, there's an old saying in rugby league, when the Titans are doing well, rugby league is doing well.
Why do you find that? Why?
Mate,
You're not a comedian, mate. Something I learned a long time ago. Leave the jokes to the comedians. Well, you're not funny.
No. All right. Well, that's very not. That hurt. Yeah. That hurt.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's your old chainsaw team. He's
sending a little bit of a joke. The results of the poll, Pete Volandis, 45%. Titans, 35%. So they've won another thing this year. They come second. Panthers, 20%. Anyway, remember, we will be back on deck next week with our shows, and we're going to come back very shortly and wrap it up with a little bit of a look at the grand final, an early look at the grand final between the Melbourne Storm and the Panthers as Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final next Sunday. You'll catch it live across the Triple M network or via the Triple M NRL app. I got Hoops with me and Gordon Tallis. Just our final word on the Grand Final next week. Before we go, Gordy, the players this week, obviously within the Melbourne camp, there's a lot of players that have been there and done that. For the Panthers, there'll be one or two. Appy Coruscant comes to mind. So let's start with the Panthers. Where do the players' heads need to be this week?
Oh, focused on the prize. I think if I'm looking back to my first grand final, I remember Tina Turner. Like, I remember everything about the week. As I got older in my last grand final, I don't remember anything because I was so focused on the game and the prize. So you can be distracted. So I'd be telling the Panthers to enjoy it and stay in that bubble bubble that they're in at the moment. It's full of confidence. They're all bouncing off each other. You see all their handshakes. They sort of remind me of them, you know, like an NBA side, you know, how sort of hyped up that they get for each other. But they got to enjoy the week because they are special weeks. The grand final weeks are special. But just remember that there's a prize at the end of it. And Melbourne Storm, well, it'll be business as usual because they'll be up on the sunny coast. So, you know, it's COVID. They've all played in grand, well, most of them have played in grand finals before, so they know what to expect. I think the Panthers, it can go two ways. You know, I think they can get overruled. But in saying that, I don't think the Panthers have played their best footy either, Maroon.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the final series.
Yeah.
Final series, I think they've been good enough to win. You know, they've been fantastic getting there, but they haven't played their best footy. You know, is it going to come out next Sunday night?
You know, you've got these players in the Penrith side that have experienced hoops in big games. Obviously, Jimmy Tamo, and as we said before, Appy Coruscant's played an NRL Grand Final. Cleary's played Origin, obviously. But then you've got guys like Liam Martin or Isaiah Yeo or young Naden. Like, these blokes are from the bush. They've been in the system for a few years now, but they're going to come out in front of just a roaring Grand Final crowd out there and know what's at stake with every move they make.
I don't think they'll be overawed by that. I think they'll embrace it. In relation to Naden, look, after what we saw last night where he didn't end up getting on the field, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses out on the 17 because you've got Appy Coruscant playing dummy half. You have got Viliami Kikau is the player I was looking for who comes back in on the left edge. And as a result of that, Kirk Capewell will most likely, I would say, go back to the bench because he can provide cover in terms of your outside backs and he also gives you a bit more edge in terms of variety of positions he can play. So, but in relation to players like Liam Martin and Isaiah has been dominating and been unsung all season. And you saw last night with the game on the line, they were looking for a big moment. They were looking for a big play. And it was Isaiah Yeo in the middle of the field who stood up and delivered for the Panthers. So the grand final will hold no fears whatsoever for him. I think he'll embrace it. And I'm sure that he'll do himself and his family proud.
Okay, mate, we're going to catch you on NRL 360 on Fox League this week talking grand final.
Sure thing.
Gordy Tallis, thanks so much. Good to see you, mate. We'll see you next weekend for our grand final special live across the Triple M network.
Cheers, Anthony.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.